Father, we come to you. We thank you that your word is alive and full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's what you said in your word. Just bringing it back to you, Lord. So we ask that you teach us, lead us, guide us, bring us into all truth, cause us to understand, to comprehend what your word says, so that we can use this word for every part of our lives. We know what your word says, that when the word of God enters into us, it brings light, illumination, causing us to see things we never would have seen. So God, I pray, God, that your revelation knowledge, your wisdom and understanding will come upon each and every one of us, that we'll see the things that we couldn't see without your help. And God, also, cancel the assignment of the enemy. You said that Satan comes immediately to steal the word. So we cancel his assignment. He will not do so. This word is going into good ground, I decree, to bring forth great fruit in the lives of these people in abundance. I cancel the assignment of the enemy, call the blessings of God upon the lives of these people. And I thank you, Father, it's happening now. In Jesus' name, I call it done. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hold your Bibles up high. Let's make a confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I have what the Word of God says that I have. I can do what the Word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's Word on purpose. But I'm not just a hearer. I'm also a doer of God's Word. And because I'm a doer and not just a hearer of the Word of God, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen. Come on, give somebody a high five before you sit down. Tell them you're about to get filled with faith. Come on, you're about to get filled with faith in Jesus' name. All right, let's go in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 27. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 27. Last time we were together, we dealt with this scripture, and I need to finish off some things. What we're doing is that we're studying the subject faith. Can you say that? Faith. Now, we utilize faith more than we would really imagine that we do. We utilize faith in a lot of part of our lives that we don't even realize it's working in the background. And we have to realize that faith is what is used to please God. We use our faith to bring pleasure to God. But in the process, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence. It is the evidence. So faith is looked at as a substance. Please write that down. Faith is a substance. Faith is also evidence. So if we were going to be doing an investigation to find out what happened, we would have to point to faith as the evidence of the proof of what happened in situations that we're believing for. So faith is the substance. I say it's a controlled substance because you control how much faith you have. Some of us, we have very little faith. Others of us, we have great faith. Please write this down also. Faith is like money in America. Faith in the kingdom of God is like money in America. What do I mean by that? We use money in America to exchange it to get the things that we need or want. Faith is used in that same way for an exchange for the things that we want, that we're believing God that he promised we could have. So we exchange our faith like people in America exchange money. So you got to have enough faith, because some things cost you in your faith. And I watch this happen with people. I watch people come in and try to get, try to get faith quick. Because they're in a desperate situation. I remember a lady that was a politician here in Tacoma. And her friend was also an attorney and a politician. And she invited her friend. So the politician lady that was part of the church invited her friend. Her husband was an attorney also, the lady that went to this church. He actually was an IRS attorney. He would take people to jail and collect from them. And so they were pretty well versed in how the things in the law operated. And she brought a friend of hers that had just got a cancer diagnosis to the church. But the cancer was very advanced. And so she didn't have faith enough to be able to see this thing get knocked out quickly. And see, this is what I'm saying to you. You've got to build your faith because you don't know what's coming. You never know when you're going to need a load of faith. Sort of like having a rainy day fund. You never know when that hot water heater is going to go out. And you're going to want some hot water. Okay? So you need to have a rainy day fund. And we have to do faith like that. We have to learn how to use our faith because there's coming a time, and God's telling me to tell you this, that there's coming a time where you're going to be able to stand there, and if you got enough faith, you can make the exchange and get what you're looking for. But some of us, because we don't need faith right now, and faith is the substance of things hoped for, it is the evidence of things you don't see yet. So because faith is invisible, we play it off a lot of times as a thing that only preachers use. Churches talk about, congregations concern themselves with. You should be building your faith all the time. And it's important to not try to build faith with distractions around you. And sometimes people can be distracting to you. That's why we come in here. Yeah, children need to be trained concerning the Word of God, but one of the reasons why we have children's church so they can get out of your hair. So you can get this Word and be able to utilize the Word of God instead of, sit down, Johnny. Sit down, Billy. Stop it. Stop it. Mary, don't you throw that again. You know, you're in church. In fact, I have some photos. I'm not going to share them today. I may share them tonight or maybe next week. I have some photos. We went to a conference one time. And for some reason, they put us, big conference, probably about 9,000 people there. And we got there late because I had to do some work on my phone. I had to do some business before we got to the session of the conference that we was going to. Anyhow, so we got there late, so they just directed us to the children's area, the area with parents with children. That was the craziest place to sit. I got photos. I got video of kids throwing spit wads and little babies rolling on the floor and parents sitting on the floor, crisscross applesauce, sitting there working with their little babies and talking Google gaga, 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 while they're preaching the anointed Word of God. You don't need that kind of distraction. When you come to hear the Word of God, you need to get locked in, folks. This ain't no jive church. I ain't no jive pastor. I'm not here trying to hope you give me a good grade today. I don't give a rip what you think of me. But you need to get this faith. I don't care if you like me. You better like what I'm saying, though, because you're going to need it. So it's nice if you like me, though. No, I'm just kidding. But see, we have to get to the point where we realize faith is more important than the money in my bank. Because that money in your bank will run out, but you can come back and tank up on some faith. That's what we're supposed to be doing every time we come in here. So why would you avoid faith? Why would you avoid? If we were handing out checks this morning, and we do it, say that, okay, I'll say that. Maybe we'll do that. But think about it. What if every time you came to check, you got a $5,000 check? You come to church. You'd go to 8:30, 10:30, 6:30, Wednesday night. You go to Bible study. You would have been at midnight prayer and praise. Because every time you show up, you're going to get that $5,000 check. You see what I mean? Well, it's worth more than that. It's worth more than that. Because what you hear in the anointing has the ability to help you avoid serious challenges in your future. Oh, I'd write that down. What I'm hearing today is helping me under the anointing to avoid serious challenges in the future. So let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verse number 27. We've been talking around faith, but the Lord put in my heart, let's go, let's see faith in action. Because faith ultimately is an action. You might want to write that down if you haven't already. Faith ultimately is an action. Because we know you have, I got that too. We know if you have faith by how you act. If you act like it's not working, you probably don't have faith. See, people that believe they receive something, they start acting like, when you know you're pregnant, ladies, you been there? You know you're pregnant. You know you got to start getting some baby clothes. You're going to have to start thinking, where are you going to put this baby? Fixing the room up. And then when you find out it's a boy or a girl, you're not buying either or type clothes. You're buying one or the other. And believe me, that's all you're going to have. It's a boy or girl. You ain't going to have no trans, okay? Just letting you know. Ain't no such a trans. Ain't no trans. Ain't no bouncing baby trans. Baloney. That is all fictitious. It's all from the minds of people and encouraged by doctors that make a lot of money off of transition surgeries. And now they're being investigated. Some are going to jail. See, you have to realize, like, for example, when my wife and I, we had two daughters, okay? We were happy. That's what we got, two daughters. Of course, it'll be nice to have a son, but we didn't say anything about it. But my daughters came together. They had been learning the Word of God. They've been under this teaching that you're hearing right now for years. And so they came to us, Danae and Monet, my two daughters, and said, we want a brother. I looked at Kathy and said, well, now, did you hear that? They want a brother. They want a brother. But they didn't just say it. We had a spare room in the house. They took over that room. They started decorating that room in blue, not pink. Everything was blue. They created a song. It's a boy, it's a boy. They were singing the song. They made us go out and buy clothes, diaper stuff, all kinds of stuff, getting ready for this room to be filled. And they kept talking about their brother. My wife wasn't even pregnant. So we, seriously, we looked at each other and said, we better get busy. I mean, it wasn't no bad thing. I mean, you know. So there had to be some action on our part if we believed what they were saying or agreed with them. Because it takes two to tango. I mean, you know, we have to be able to do our part. And see, they did their part. They believed. And they started the whole process of believing, and then we acted on it. We joined in their faith, and we went to the hospital, found out we're with child. And the first thing the nurse wanted to say, it's a little girl. It's the heartbeat of a little girl. We said, you're lying. You ain't even telling the truth. But that's what they said. Gave us an ultrasound. Oh, it's a little girl. We said, no, it's not. I went to prayer. praying about this ministry. God showed me a vision of a 6'4" boy getting off a corporate jet. I wasn't a pilot yet. In Africa, we had landed on a dirt strip, which is what Christopher Alam does all the time with his aircraft that he flies. And getting out of this jet was my wife and I, my two son-in-laws, and this boy that had to do like that to get out of the jet. And people were lined up everywhere, like what you see in those photos of Christopher Long. So we told that nurse, "You're wrong. It's a boy." They kept saying, "It's a boy. I mean, it's a girl." They kept saying, "It's a girl. It's a girl." We said, "It's a boy." Well, I was in the delivery room. My wife had a C-section for a little boy. And I wasn't really looking at her then. I was looking at that boy to see whether it was a boy or not. And I can attest to what came out of this woman's stomach, out of her abdomen, was a boy. I saw the equipment, okay? So I know God knows how to deliver. You have got to be able to have some actions. My daughters took action first. We took action second. We joined with her in faith. Who are you going to join up with? God says it's this way. Whose report will you believe? And we need to say we're going to believe the report of the Lord. Doesn't matter what other people say. In this scripture here, it says when Jesus departed from there, two for one, two blind men followed him. We saw this last week, crying out. Faith needs you to be serious. If you've got faith for something, you need to act like it. They were crying out, saying, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." Now they were both blind. But they both said, "Have mercy." Now, I want you to write that down. Have mercy upon me. I don't know why that's an important scripture or important part of the word of God or important part of a confession to God. But I think that there's something about when you just cry out to God and know that you don't have the answer and say, "God, have mercy upon me." He said, "Son of David, have mercy upon us." We got to get to the point where we're going to cry out to the Lord. Some of us, we're too cute to cry out to the Lord. Some of us too cute to raise your hands and say amen. Some of you too cute to stand up. God sees you. I ain't looking at you. You sit down on God, he sit down on you. You ain't got faith enough to stand up and praise him? What you going? You talking about you going to heaven? You know 24 hours a day around the throne they are praising the Lord? What are you going to do when you get there? You in the throne room and 24 elders are just throwing themselves down. And everybody's praising God and just shouting. What you going to do? Look for a chair? Now, I'm not talking about people that's got a medical condition. Now, I'm talking about you able-bodied. You stand up there and wait for the bus all day long. But you can't get your rump up. How God gonna do something for you? You can't even open your mouth. But today, when the game comes on, shoot, yeah. It's the Huskies and Washington State. Come on, we gonna watch that game. And I'm a Husky, so here we go. You know what I'm talking about. You'll be knocking the popcorn all over the room. But then you get to church and act too cute. I ain't crying out for nothing. You need everything. You need God. You done tried everything else. It's not working. Not trying to get in your business. Let me move over here. You done tried everything, but then all of a sudden you're going to get paralyzed and can't get up out of your seat. You need to talk to yourself. You need to say, "Self, get your rump up." You need to act like you love God. I shouldn't be the only one excited right now. Some of y'all need to get some excitement in you. I'm praying we get some Holy Ghost fire up in this place. We're too cute. Need to put us back in folding chairs with no pads. You won't be sitting down then. That's how we started. Metal folding chairs, no pad. Everybody was always up because their butts were so sore. They were always praising the Lord. Most of them wasn't even praising the Lord. They just was tired of feeling numb. See, we got to get to the point where we're not looking at this thing. Well, why would they cry out to the Lord? Have mercy upon us. You need to be crying. You don't even know what's wrong. God, I don't know what's wrong, but God, I cry out to you. I come to you right now. Lord, have mercy upon me. You need to make your faith known. Watch this. Because you're going to have people do this to you. And when Jesus departed, there from the two men crying out, have mercy upon us. Next verse. Verse 28 says, and when he had come into the house, now he's going into the house. That's like you saw Jesus out there on the sidewalk and a bunch of people around him. You say, hey, Jesus, have mercy on us. Have mercy. He comes in the church. You ain't invited. They ain't care. They went into the church also. See, you got to get tenacious about this. He went into the house. They came in to the house. Then he turned to them and said, do you believe, can you believe that I am able to do this? Put Ephesians 3:20 up there. Do you believe I am able? See, and you got to look at the situation you're believing for. Some of you are headed for disaster in some situations. It may be financial. It may be your marriage. It may be your family. It may be what's going on with your kids. You got to know that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you even ask or think. He's asking them something. Do you believe that I am able? He is able to do. That's the answer to the question. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what not just you're asking, but what you're thinking. See, you can sit there with a nice, cute little look on your face, but your mind is going, it ain't gonna work, it ain't gonna work. You gotta get your thinking together. Sometimes I see you thinking. Isn't it? I don't know about all that. See, you gotta get to the point where you're asking and your thinking is going along with God, what God is saying. Say it again. Get your asking and your thinking. Not just your asking, because we can say a lot of things with our words. God says in his words, in his word, that they say great things with their mouths, but their heart is not with me. See, you got to think in your heart, because you don't just think in your head. You may think some things in your head, but your heart has to be agreeing with the Lord. That's how you got saved. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, not the pumping device, but the inner man, the spirit person that you are. With all your insides, I believe God can do this. Jesus asked them. Now, they already said, have mercy upon us. He didn't even ask them, what do you want me to do? He's asking them before he even asked them, what do you want me to do? Do you believe I can do this? They could say, vacuum the floor? I mean, what? What do you want to do? No, they knew what he was talking about. Go back now to Matthew chapter, whatever chapter we're at. Let's go back there. When Jesus departed, he went into the house. The blind men came. Next verse, please. They came to him. And Jesus said to him, do you believe that I'm able? Now, this is what we got to get. Oh, this is important. Forget what you're able to do. Who gives a rip? Because your ability is going to stop somewhere. But God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. He's able. Say he's able. Now that's faith. When you are not able, don't disable God. Just because you're not able doesn't mean God is not able. God gives us things that are impossible on purpose. Put Luke 1:37 up there. So glad I got some time to teach. Luke 1:37. Watch this. Luke 1:37 says, with God, nothing will be impossible. So why do we think it's impossible? Come on, let the cogs just keep clicking. Why do we do that? Why do we, when we're dealing with God, why would we allow the devil to have more of a vote than God on the inside of us? For with God, nothing will be impossible. I'm looking for some people that can believe. I'm going to find some people that's going to really say amen. I'm going to find some people that's ready for this. I'm looking for some people that's excited about the things of God and just want to hear that it's okay to believe that big. I'm tired of small thinking people. God send us some people that believe big, because there's nothing that is impossible. All you have to do is make sure it's God's will. Oh no, that takes work. That means I got to pray. It means I got to pray and not just pray a Santa Claus list. I got to pray and find out what God's talking about. It's going to take some work. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know. See, and this is where we are. Because faith is an action. It's an action word. So it continues. Go back to Matthew again. This is important. Really, it's very important. 9 and 28. Let's go to 28. We'll go back to 29 in a minute. And they said to him, you got to answer yourself. The thing you're believing for, some of you may have a diagnosis from the doctor that says something different than what the Bible says. Some of you may have a situation where it's like there's no hope, but you have to be believing. Some of you, you may have gotten to a certain level and feel like you're plateauing. See, you're not supposed to plateau as a believer. You're not supposed to get to the point where I'm, nice, comfy, and fat, and happy. No. You got to get hungry all the time. You got to be more hungry. Well, Pastor, I have everything I need. Who thought about you? If Jesus only thought about him, he'd get himself saved, go on the cross, get himself saved, and be done with it. But he died on the cross for all of us. He was thinking about you and me, and we're in the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be mimicking what his attitude was. So we're not just here to be able to use our faith for ourselves. Okay, let's go a little further. So he came in the house. They said, yes, Lord, you're able to do it. Okay, next verse. Come on now. And he touched their eyes. You ain't touching me. I'm not getting embarrassed and having that preacher call me up to the front and lay hands on me. So you got to get to the point where your pride's thrown out. It don't matter what, Jesus spit on dirt and put it on people's eyes. Of course, they were already blind, so they didn't know. But anyhow, he spit on dirt, made a spittle, and put it on their eyes, told them to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and they were healed. He told Naaman, who was a captain of the army, to come down and be dipped in the water, the Jordan River. We've been there. It's like the Jordan Creek. It's really not a real big river. It's not like the Euphrates. And it's muddy. And some people go to get baptized in the Jordan River, and you can't recognize them when they come out of the water because they got so much mud on them. And Naaman, the captain of the guard, didn't want to have to do that because of his pride. I'm trying to reach y'all. Let's not live that way. Let's allow God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Let's stretch our faith. Let's believe for something bigger. Let's not just believe for another place to live. Let's believe to be able to own the place and help people that need help with that place to live. Let's not just believe for a car. Let's believe for somebody else a car. Believe that you can give away a car. God wants you to be able to be that person. Well, he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be done to you, or let it be to you. In other words, back at you. With how much faith you got, it's coming back to you. So you got to build up that faith. we've got to hear what God says. Continue now, because we've got some principles. We're going to get some principles out of this also. Their eyes were open. Next verse, chapter we're going to look at in Luke, they were open immediately. God doesn't have to wait all day to be able to cause blessings to happen to you when you use your faith. It says, and their eyes were open. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. And in other words, don't go out there running your mouth talking about Jesus did this. Of course, he knew they weren't going to do that. He knew they weren't going to shut up. Would you shut up? How are you going to shut up when you couldn't see and now you're going to see people and they're going to say, what happened to you? What you going to say? I went to Walmart and they gave me some salve and I put it on my, that's a lie. You got to tell them. Jesus knew that, but he warned them. Let's go to the next verse, 31. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him all in all that country. How many have had God do something for them? I think we need to start talking. The reason God allows you to receive the blessing, that money, the job, the health, the healing, that's why we use our marriage. We are no longer just married for us. We are married because people need to know that you can make it to 53 years almost now, that you can make it through 52 if you want to. Now, not everybody wants that. But if you do want it, we are two examples, and we went through hell to get here. But God delivered us and brought us through. See, because it wasn't no goody two-shoe. Yeah, we knew each other when she was 14 and I was 15. But how we make it through all the rest of that, especially the first 10 years? Because I was in the media, and you know how crazy they are. And I was crazy along with them. But thank God I got delivered in Jesus' name. Amen? That's why we minister to those people in the media, because they're crazy too. They need help. But God brought us through. And we don't sit here to brag. Well, we've been married 52 years. Look at us. No, if it wasn't for the Lord, you wouldn't be able to look at us because us wouldn't be together. And see, this is what we need to do with what God has done for you. Instead of standing around like you did it, just you and your attorney. If it wasn't that attorney, he knew everything. Oh, gosh. Me and my professor. Oh, gosh, my professor was such a professor. He would profess how to be a professor to the professors. He's a professor's professor. The professor would profess every day. I wish I could profess like he professed. Forget that. You need to give God the glory. You could have gone up to see that professor and your brain become jello. You wouldn't know how to even learn nothing. But it was the grace of God that kept you going. You know, and without getting into details, some of y'all, you know what I'm talking about, because you took so much drug in college, it's a wonder why you even got out of there with a degree. But God wants you to give him the glory. Doesn't he deserve the glory? I said, doesn't he deserve the glory? All right, let's go a little further. More principles. I got to drop the principles also. It says, but when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. Next verse. Come on. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him, they heard that these folks got delivered. They brought to him a man mute and demon-possessed. I want to establish strongly that God delivers people from demons. It's not just the psychologists, because they're scratching their heads still. My wife is a board-certified counselor that deals with that stuff. And believe me, a lot of the world's psychologists are trying to come to the Christian side because the world side ain't working that well. Whether it's postpartum challenges that women are having, like in the news right now, or people on the streets talking to themselves until they can find a knife to try to kill people like in New York, or people that just can't deal with the stress of domestic violence and shoots two cops and kills two other people, like in Minnesota. This happened this week. We have to realize some of this is demonic. It's not all your brain. Your brain ain't that crazy by itself for most people. But demon possession will cause people to have challenges. I'll leave it there. Next verse. Watch this now. And when the demon was cast out, what? Well, you know what gets to me? We may get to one of these scriptures where it says, and he, the demon, was cast out of her. What? It was a he and she? It was a he, she, and it was, they called the demon a he, but she got delivered from the demon. It's in the Bible. These demons are real. And even though it's Sunday morning and we're supposed to be very generic, I'm not trying to be. I'm telling you the truth. Demons are some of the challenges that we have. And until we turn to the spiritual side, which Jesus is the one that defeated every demon, the devil himself, hell and the grave, we have to turn to Jesus Christ for some of these things. It says, when the demon was cast out, that's all we should do with demons. We shouldn't play with them. We shouldn't try to get them to talk. We shouldn't act like, you know, being demon possessed is something really, something fun. All we need to do is know they need to be cast out. The mute spoke. As soon as the problem was the demon, the person was able to speak. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Tacoma, Washington. See, a lot of folks don't realize it takes faith to do that. You need somebody that has faith in God to get rid of those things that are plaguing mankind. Almost done. One more part of the scripture. Can we continue on? Is that the end of it? Okay. But the Pharisees said, he cast out demons by the ruler of the demons. They always lie. Religious people always try to make up excuses. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. The Bible says, for those kind of folks, is always trying to say it didn't really work, you need to run away from them. You may be believing for something, and people are telling you that doesn't work. You may be believing for one of your children to be able to receive healing or deliverance or to get out of drugs or whatever. And drugs is from the spirit of pharmakia, which is the demonic spirit that operates behind drugs. So you need to know when a person is on drugs, it's like the demonic forces are using those drugs to get into that body. That spirit of pharmakia will cause those people to be very strange. And it's only through Jesus Christ that demons can be handled. You can't medicate a person enough to get the demons out of them. And you don't ask the demons to just quiet down because they're going to rise up again. You have to cast them out. There's only one solution for that. Now, I don't know why I'm teaching this today, but maybe there's somebody here that needs this help with their family or something. But you need to know that some of this stuff is going to have to be turned over to the spiritual side of things. That you can't handle it all by yourself. So there's some demonic forces. Jesus didn't walk away from that. He dealt with it. And they wanted to say he was casting out demons by the ruler of the demons, or he's tied to the demons. Baloney. You know what Jesus did? Look at the next verse. Principle. Then Jesus went about all the cities. Said, you want to say that about me? I must be on the right track. I'm going to all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues like we're doing city church services, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every, how many sicknesses? Every sickness and every disease. Talk then. See, we can't back down because the enemy doesn't like what we're doing. Just because we're using faith and they don't believe in God doesn't mean we should just kowtow to what they believe. And see, God, Jesus went about it, trying to help as many people as he could because he had compassion. Now, remember our first lady taught that about compassion. It means come with passion. You're going to come trying to do something for somebody. Come with some excitement, some passion, some determination. This is going to work. Don't come there, well, I hope I can get delivered. You ain't. I hope we can win. No. We got to have some fire up in here. Then Jesus went about all the cities. Next verse. We're almost done. Two more left. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for the people. cause that be or because they were weary and scattered. They were stressed out and scatterbrained. This is what causes compassion in those that have the calling of the pastor, the preacher. Because they were weary and scattered, like sheep not having a professor. Is that what it said? Like sheep not having a good job. Like sheep not having enough money. They were scattered and weary because they were like sheep having no shepherd or pastor. Every believer needs a pastor. You can't bump around and jump around and bounce around from church to church. That's not the kingdom. We are sheep, and all of us need a shepherd. And until Jesus gets here, he's got under shepherds that we are assigned to, and you have to yield yourself there. That's an act of faith too. To say, I'm under this church, this shepherd, this pastor who has to give an account for me. And Jesus saw the people. He said, they are like sheep without a shepherd. They're like people without pastors. And he wasn't just looking at Christians, because there weren't any yet. Because he hadn't died on the cross yet. There were believers, but you couldn't be a Christian until he died on the cross for you. So he was looking at the multitude, it says. At everybody. He was looking at, like we went walking down to the waterfront in Seattle and just looking at crazy people, some naked, walking with feathers on them. And I'm shaking my head. My wife is, I didn't even see it at first. And she's just looking at the person walking off. You can see the butt hanging out. I was like, what? She said, they're naked. They're walking down here naked. People, you have to have compassion for people, care about people like Jesus did, because they're weary, they're scattered brain, like a sheep without a shepherd. We all need a shepherd. We all need a pastor. When Jesus comes back, I'm going to say this and we're going to close. When Jesus comes back, he's not coming back as the good prophet. He's not coming back as the good evangelist. And I'm not saying this because of my calling. He is not coming here as the good teacher. He's not coming back as the good apostle. He's coming back as the good shepherd. Because we will need pastoring for eternity. This ain't just an earthly thing. You have to have a shepherd because we are all like sheep. And so if you're rejecting the shepherd in your life, you're rejecting the plan of God in your life. And I know it's real popular right now to say, I used to go to church. But that's the wrong answer. You need to be solid in your church. People say, well, I already go to church. What's your pastor's name? Dub, 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 dub. You don't have a church. You got a club you visit. You got a social group that you go eat, have coffee and eat donuts with. You got to get there to learn the word of God. You have to yield. And it takes getting rid of your pride to say, I don't know everything. Well, the pastor doesn't either. Well, Jesus was a carpenter, but he had all these people, tax collectors, fishermen, all these people, physicians, all these people that the anointing allowed him to teach them. Well, he's given the same thing to the pastors here that have to be with the people. It would take me 16 lifetimes as a pastor to know all your trades. But by the Spirit of God, I'm able to answer questions because the Holy Spirit will give us wisdom. I told us earlier, there's a genius inside of you. Tap into the genius inside of you, the Holy Spirit. AI is fine until it makes a mistake. Funny what AI was saying about me. I had no idea what was going on with my life. But what we need is HI, Holy Spirit intelligence. God will help you with everything. We're going to continue to learn how to receive faith. Are you with me still? Say, God, Today, I thank you that by faith, I'm living this life successfully. Come on, let's make a confession. Stand up, in fact. Stand up. Let's make a bold confession. Say, God, I make the confession that I need you in my life. With you, nothing shall be impossible. Say, with God, nothing shall be impossible. There's nothing impossible for me with God. God, allow the genius of the Holy Spirit to come in on the inside of me, answer questions, and help me to know how to live this life. God, help me to use the word of God that I receive today as faith, transfer it into faith so that I can use it to receive the things that I need in my life. Today, I declare my life is getting easier because I'm relying on God's word and faith in it in Jesus' name. Come on, give God some praise. Let's thank God that some good things are happening for you. You're using your faith and it's bringing things to pass.